Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, it is hour two of Deprogram. You know, action-packed as always, 24-7, bringing the goods as we do here on the TNT Network. In this hour, I'm going to be joined by Kevin Gallagher. He's going to be talking about all things smart tech in just a moment. Before we get to that, I've got a little article. Now, this was several days ago, but I just happened to see it today and I wanted to bring it up. It had to be, it had to do with Dr. Birx, you know, the scarf lady. You remember the creepy scarf lady? You know, she was admitting that she used a little bit of subterfuge in Trump's White House to get things done. And this is all in her brand new bio that recently came out. But what I didn't see until today, and this has been a couple of days, but she describes her go-to people to help her get what she wanted, be it lockdowns or whatever she needed in the White House. I wonder who those would have been. Well, she spills the beans. It was Jared Kushner and Mike Pence. Wouldn't you know it? Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of the president, and Mike Pence, Race Bannon himself. She says that, you know, when she was trying to figure out who to work with to get things done that she wanted done, you know, to push her lockdown policies, she starts looking around the room. All right, who's most likely to help me here? And this is her quote. It's a paragraph long. Bear with me, folks. Just as I knew that in a pandemic, getting people to change their behavior was very hard. That was true of those shaping the pandemic response as well. Better to leverage those who could help me impact the response from those who resisted me. There was Jared and there was the vice president. And those two men would be my go-to people in the White House then and for the next 9 months to move the pandemic response forward. She also said she had this little workaround. So I guess when she'd be giving reports to the governors, you know, and they had bullet points, they begin to think, well, you know, how can we do this? People are short of time. Basically, they do the old newspaper version of bury the lead. She claims she would reinsert what the White House had objected to, but put those kinds of points low down in a page in different locations, and she would put the points that she wanted them to see first towards the top, hoping that people would just read like a paragraph or two. And, you know, she did what she felt like she had to do to get the outcome that she wanted. And this person and Fauci, these were the kind of folks that were in charge of locking down the universe for a couple of years. Scarf Lady and that horrible little dark elf, Fauci. So this should come as no surprise that Jared Kushner and Mike Pence were more than happy to play ball. And if Donald Trump does run again, I don't know if he will or not. It looks like now he almost certainly will, because he's not the kind of guy that you pick a fight with and expect the guy just to walk away. He's almost certainly going to run now. The deal is, it's like, Trump, bro, leave Jared at home. Let him and Ivanka take care of the kids. Let's get some people that are involved, do like freedom and good ideas and are pro-America. Let's get them in there. Mike Pence, that's that. We don't even have to go there. We know we don't want that guy around. And then all of those neocons that were hangovers from the previous administrations that you brought on, do a little bit of detective work. They may not actually like you, Donald. I'm just saying, if you're smart enough to win, you're smart enough to get the right people in there, and I hope that you do. We don't need any more Dr. Birxes. We don't need any more Jared Kushners. We don't need any more neocons or any of that. We need a clean slate made of people who are all on the same team, and that team is Team America. Don't you agree? Team humanity. You guys, are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? Just like pets and children and all kinds of people, we like positive reinforcement. We'd love to hear from you that you think we're doing a good job, or, you know, let us know what you want us to hear us talk about. We're on every social media platform that matters. So that's Facebook, Gab, Getter. We're out there on all of them. Find us, drop us a line, follow us, forward us to your friends. We would really appreciate it, because we are doing the hard work trying to bring you the topics that we think really matter here on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
In depth and under discussion.
The government works for us, not the other way around.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks. So for this hour, we're going to have on the show for the very first time, it is Kevin Gallagher. He is the founder and CEO of Truth Be Told Radio Network. He is a longtime researcher and advocate of limitations on smart technology. And the Truth Be Told Network is a great truth-telling network. I've had the good fortune of being on there a few times. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So let's jump into it, because I know that you've been researching this subject for many, many years. It does come up occasionally here on the show. I actually, on Monday, I had a professor of electrical engineering and computer science on, and we were talking about AI. So we'll just continue that conversation with you. And I guess let's jump off. Like, when did AI start?
AI has been around for a long time, Michael. And if you do a search, you go out to the web, and you do a search for the earliest recorded use of AI, it comes from an automated water clock. And this dates back to 250 BC. That's before Christ. So it's been around a long time. And this is a water clock which needed to have the water kept at a constant fill rate. It needed to have the proper weight. And there was a Greek mathematician that figured out how to automate the entire process so no human being would be involved. And that is the very first use of an automated type of device. I mean, you really have to look at, you know, when we look at this, what defines something as, quote, smart? Smart mm-hmm. technology is any technology that has the ability to communicate and work with other networks of technologies. And through this ability, it's able to allow an automated or adaptive functionality as well as remote accessibility or operation from somewhere else. You don't have to be necessarily right where the water clock was or at your home, et cetera.
The ancient Greeks, I mean, man, they were on the ball, because they also created that navigational system. We think it's a navigational system, the Antikythera little machine. Because when you first yes. told me that AI was that old, that's the first thing I thought of. But this is a completely different device.
Yes, it is.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, it's completely different. And now, you know, you move into the 21st century and everybody knows Amazon. They came out with the first smart speaker in 2014. But when you look at smart technology, the smart speaker is really, in my estimation, the redheaded stepchild of smart tech. Everybody's going to go and beat up on the smart speaker because, yes, I will be the first to tell you there are security issues. Yes, they are on all the time. Yes, they are listening. But that is just a small part of the picture.
That is the one that people tend to think of at first. I admit I don't have one in my house, and I've made jokes about it that, you know, telling the family, listen, we're not getting those. Now, I do have my sister and brother-in-law. They had one, and they were super stoked about it. I didn't want to get into it with them. But when you say that that's kind of the stepchild of the matter, you're implying that there are worse offenders.
Yes, there are. Anything that has the word smart in it qualifies and does pretty much what we accuse a smart speaker of. Really, when you look at what a smart speaker is, it is a speaker which has some form of AI technology attached to it. The big three right now are, of course, Amazon, Google, and Apple. And it has that technology inside the speaker, which makes it available to do different things. Now, we have to stop for a moment. We have to look at the technology for what it is. The technology in itself is not good. It's not evil. It's a piece of technology. What is the big deal here is what is being done with it by the tech companies. Okay. And regardless of whether it's in your home, you have Alexa Auto, you have Google Auto, you have things like that, whether it's in your car, whatever, doesn't make any difference. It's what is being done with the technology. That's what's important. And that's really the first thing that people have to look at. And Michael, I'm not sitting here advocating for their use. I'm not going to sit here and tell people not to have them. I'm just here to try to give a balanced view of the technology so that a person can come to their own decision as to whether or not they want to own one.
Understood, Kevin. And yes, and I think everybody gets that, because you're simply pointing out, as we should, look, just know what you're getting into. Don't turn yourself over to the machines and just think everything has hunky-dory. So when I think of, I've got an Apple Watch here, I got an iPhone, I'm looking at a computer. I mean, we're talking via the internet, and I've got numerous smart devices in my house. Unfortunately, I think probably even my some of my appliances. Yeah. I think I've got a semi-smart air conditioner over there. So we're in some cases they're ubiquitous. I mean, right? I mean, what is the percentages of these kinds of products? Let's just say the typical US home.
Yeah, well, let me do this. Let me offer a disclaimer, and that is I own a lot of this tech, and as a radio network owner, I use this, and I promote it in my radio network, and the reason is because, like you just said, it's ubiquitous. 50%, we're talking over 50%, I think right now it's 51 or 52% of all American households have at least one smart speaker. That's a lot. Now,
yes, it is.
If you look at people that in America that have more than one smart speaker, you're looking at about 35%. So I know as a broadcaster, okay, it's wonderful because I could hit 80 countries. These things are active in 80 countries now. Not all these are smart speakers. This is where we're going to get to the dirty little secret. And you're looking at over 5 billion devices on the planet that are smart tech. Not all those are smart speakers. So we're looking at over 5 billion devices. We're looking at over 50% of the households in the United States that have at least one Alexa, one Google Home or Nest, and one Apple HomePod, the regular or the mini, it doesn't matter. And this is where we're at. This is how ubiquitous this has become. But this is the main reason why me, as somebody that owns a radio network, wants people to be able to hook in and use that wake word, the A word or the G word, or to say Siri, whatever, and be able to connect to my network. They're already there. They're active. And it is a great resource. And especially for what I do as a Christian talk radio network, I want to reach as many people as I possibly can. So I own an Apple HomePod Mini. I own several Google speakers. I own several Alexa ones. And part of that is to be able to do the research, figure out how they work, what they do, so that if somebody asks, I can tell them exactly how they can engage with that to listen to the network.
I missed something. Can you say it again?
Yep, and that was my Alexa kicking in because, as I said, they're always on and listening, so I just turned the mic off.
That was interesting timing. I was wondering if she wanted to join the conversation and have her say.
Yeah, it's interesting, but that's the that's the thing. They're always on and listening. So,
yes.
But I don't know if you want me to get to the dirty little secret now or wait later.
Well, we got plenty of time, so I want to hold on for a second. But another thing that, while you're describing all this to me, is when I think of that phrase that I haven't heard it as much lately, but there for a minute, several years ago, it was, you know, you'd hear it a lot. It was the Internet of Everything. So yes. Like even your refrigerator or your washing machine and these various appliances. So it's all throughout the house. And it makes me also think of this recent story that Amazon was buying Roombas. And here again, I've got a Roomba. It works pretty well. And so immediately when people saw that Amazon was buying Roomba, they were like, holy cow, is that another spy in the house? Because the Roomba kind of maps the house and figures things out. Right. And I guess potentially would upload that information back to Amazon.
Yeah, exactly the case. They would be able to know what the dimensions of your rooms are, be able to map that out. So they would know exactly what kind of space you're living in. But they also bought a company called One Medical. They bought the Roomba company for $1.7 billion. And they just bought One Medical for $3.9 billion, I believe it was. And that gives them access to millions of people's medical records. So, and this is part of what we're going to lead up to with the dirty little secret. And this all kind of fits into it because the speakers in themselves, and like you were saying, you have friends that have them and they like them. And there was just a study that I read that 94% of all people that have smart speakers wouldn't get rid of them. They really like them and they couldn't imagine their lives without them. Because they actually do some really cool things. And this is the trade-off. And we are being pushed to a future where there is no such thing as privacy. And unfortunately, a lot of times people can fall subject to kind of like dog training. And we're being trained to not really regard privacy as being a big thing.
I am speaking with Kevin Gallagher. He's the founder and CEO of the Truth Be Told Network. And we're going to take our first break of this hour. This is TNT Deprogram. I am the host, Michael Parker, and we'll be back.
You should hear what Shannon Joy is talking about.
The revolt in Netherlands by the farmers and in Germany and in Canada, the new ESG scores and the new sustainability goals that we're seeing in the United States of America pushed by Biden, this war on farming, this war on the ability for humans to access food. Some are calling it the starvation agenda. It is actually rooted in a declaration that was put together almost 10 years ago in 2015 with the adoption of UN Agenda 2030. If you want to understand what is happening in terms of politics, you have to understand the United Nations, the UN Agenda 21, and the UN Agenda 2030. That is the framework for the Great Reset, and it lays everything out, and they've been at this for many, many decades.
The Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
Everybody here wants information about what's going on.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks. I'm speaking with Kevin Gallagher, founder and CEO of Truth Be Told Network. And I've had the opportunity to be on the show, on the channel a few times, and they've got some great programming over there. So we'd invite you to go check them out. And that's truthbetoldnetwork.com or truthbetoldnetwork.org.
Network. Yeah, either one.
And as Kevin was saying, or you just ask your smart speaker to look it up, and it will. And it's funny, Kevin, because one of the things, before we get to this dirty secret, I was like, you know what? I've resisted getting a smart speaker, partially in jest, making a joke to my family. But on the other hand, I might as well get one because everything else in the house is listening to me. So maybe we jump off from there.
Yeah, and let me go backwards to go forwards. I started the radio network that I own back in 2018, and then Christmas of that year, it started in April, and then we had a Christmas party at the house, and the guy who helped me out with my TV show for many years gave me one of these little hockey pucks. And so I'm holding it in the box. I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this? So I start looking up some information, find out that Alexa has third-party skills, they're called. And what happens is you can write a program and have that officially added to Alexa's libraries. And then some people can say a word. You know, I don't want to like set off everybody's devices, but a word. Play Truth Be Told Radio Network or play whatever. And it will bring that up. All they got to do is enable the skill. Now, the same thing is called an action in Google. And Siri, see, if you have an Apple equipment, it likes to play in its own pond. It doesn't like to play well with others. So if you if you haven't gotten one, I would steer you away from getting the Apple one, only because unless you have a lot of Apple equipment, you have an iPhone, you have an iPad, you have a Mac computer, it's going to seamlessly fit right into that environment, or what we call an ecosystem. But the Google and the Alexa, that is going to give you a lot of different options. And what you were talking about before was the Internet of Things, and they're supposed to be coming out with a universal standard called Matter. And that would make the Apple, the Google, and the Alexa stuff, all the equipment, all that stuff jive and talk to each other, where it can't do that right now. I can't make a Google speaker and an Alexa speaker play nice and work together because they're operating on totally different wavelengths. So what I want people to know is that there's over like 100,000 of these skills. We wrote that. We had it done in 3 weeks. and it was approved. And so it's officially part of their system. And a lot of radio stations are doing this. Plus, if you have a radio station that's hooked into, say, TuneIn, TuneIn is available on all three of the major platforms. So this is great. If you want to listen to radio stations, you can listen to hundreds and thousands of radio stations just by getting a smart speaker.
Kevin, question, so, since I don't have one, and I just want to make sure I understand this. So if I wanted to, if I had a smart speaker and I wanted it to play one of my local radio stations, it wouldn't be able to do that unless the radio station itself had gone through the process that you described to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the caveat is they're running through a service like TuneIn Radio. Then like with the Apple speaker, I can say play Truth Be Told Radio Network on TuneIn Radio. If I add those words, it'll start playing the network. Google has actions. We have an action written for Google. As a matter of fact, we have two of them. And then with the Amazon speaker, we have one written. And this way, people in England, in Ireland, in Australia, all over the place can tune in, pop in, listen to it. India is really big on these things. England, and you can get them to work in just about, I think it's like 80 countries at the last count. And we're talking about being able to reach, as I said, over 5 billion devices across the planet.
Well, let's move on to what the big dirty secret is in all this. If it isn't everything you've already said, it gets worse. Let's hear it.
Okay. I'm holding up my Android smartphone. Now, Android and Google are interchangeable because Android is a form of Linux that was designed by Google. And so they'll call it a Google smartphone or an Android phone. The operating system is designed by Google using the freeware that we call Linux, designed here. And any cell phone, any smartphone that you have that's Android, from version 5, this phone I have in my hand, Michael, is version 11, has the Google Assistant built into it.
Okay.
The iPhone has Siri built into it. You can talk to your phone and say, hey, Siri. Okay, that means, now what this means, okay, is that everybody, remember I called the smart speaker the redheaded stepchild?
Yes.
That everybody beats up on? Well, that's kind of, a bunch of Barbra Streisand. Let's just put it that way. Because there is no difference, and I'm going to say this very slowly, there is absolutely no difference between the Google Assistant that is in my cell phone and the Google Assistant that is sitting in their smart speaker. Likewise, there is absolutely no difference between the Siri that is in your iPhone and the Siri that sits in the HomePod.
Understood.
Okay, which means that these things people walk around. The cell phone I'm holding in my hand, the last couple of years, last 2-3 years, you can't take the battery out of them. You're walking around with a smartphone, which is basically a smart speaker. Let's just call it that. These would be, what I have in my hand would be more like the smart screens that Google and Amazon makes. And just on a smaller scale, using cellular technology, smart speakers, all three of the big three make phone calls. Because it's the same technology. It's smart. What's built into your phone, what's built into your smart speaker, what's built into your smart TV, and the smart TV is the worst offender par excellence. It makes a smart speaker look tame. I mean, totally tame. And the difference between us, and I get emotional about this because this is the thing that knocked my socks off. When I learned this little dirty secret, it changed everything. And you said earlier, why should I worry about getting a smart speaker when all my other devices are listening to me? Bingo. And I'm not saying go out and get one. I'm saying whatever you're comfortable with, work with. I have these devices in my house. I will not put smart locks on my door. I will not put doorbells, smart doorbells or anything like that, because if it can be controlled from the inside, it can be controlled from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The most I'll ever do is the smart speaker, the smartphone, and because I had these for long before I ever understood this principle. And I have outlets that you can plug into the outlet and hook up a lamp to, and you can say, turn off the lamp, turn on the lamp. But that's about it, because nobody's going to lock me out of my house. Nobody's going to know who's coming over to my house, because all that information is put up into the cloud. So you have to ask yourself, how much of this information am I willing to give up for the convenience? Because we are being trained to give up our privacy. And as we move along and we get further down the road, you have to start looking into quantum technologies and how this, and Google and the things that are going on, which we have to further in this discussion, because this is where it's headed. We have to know where we've been. We have to know what we're dealing with now in order to see where we're going to be going. And where we're going is really interesting and also kind of spooky and scary at the same time.
I speak with Kevin Gallagher. He's the founder and CEO of Truth Be Told Radio Network, TBTRN. Go check it out. Lots of good programming over there. It's time for the bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russia has summoned an emergency session of the UN Security Council to discuss the situation at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has been the subject of regular shelling attacks. China has announced an end to the unprecedented military exercises around Taiwan, which were launched following the controversial visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei. The U.S. had a better-than-expected report for July, zero inflation.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
All right, folks. I'm speaking with Kevin Gallagher. We're talking about just the fact that we are surrounded on all sides, even on our body, with smart technology. And we're in this interesting place where... I remember working on a TV show. Now, for frequent listeners, you've heard me tell this story quickly, but I have to point it out because it's the crux of the whole thing, to me at least. I was working on a television show, and I go into the editor's booth with the editor, and he and I are having a laugh about something. And he's like, he looks over, he's like, Michael, he goes, I don't care if the government, you know, is reading my emails or looking at my internet history. I got nothing to hide. I was like, brother, that is absolutely not the point. You have a right to privacy. So now whether you want it or not, that's a different question, but it's just to think deeper about it. And I guess that brings me to the idea of the smart TV. We know what the smartphone does. It tracks us, it follows us around. You know, we're typing things to our friends and family members, but the smart TV, because I've heard rumors about smart TVs, but what are smart TVs doing?
Yeah, well, let me just say a quick comment about what you just said about not having anything to hide. My only comment is ask Donald Trump that right now.
Yeah.
Ask Donald Trump that right now. And
good point.
And unfortunately, but that's all I'm going to say about it. The smart tech with TVs is very interesting, and they kind of bury it. The problem, I'm just going to go look up my notes here. Just bear with me.
No worries.
You have a technology called automatic content recognition, or they call it ACR. Now, these settings are usually pretty hard to find. And depending on the brand of the smart TV, it can be really hard, not so hard. But you can also look up stuff about ACR or automatic content recognition that Consumer Reports did. You can look that up. You can find the article that they wrote. And basically, do you want everybody knowing what you're watching on your TV? Do you want to know how long you watch, what commercials you were watching, if you were watching a DVD? All that information is being sent to the various companies that make the TV. Okay. And I'm not going to mention names. I don't need to get sued. But the thing is, all these different companies, they collect what we call the metadata. And, yes. And this is true for the smart tech companies, all of them. The TVs are the worst culprit because there's so much you can do with them. And they hook in as a hub a lot of times to all the other devices. So, for example, you can be using smart speakers, as we do, to be able to get better sound and link out from the Amazon Fire Cube that we have. And so then we get like a home stereo, a home theater effect. So, but all that goes through the TV. It's the heart of the system, and they're sending everything back. So a smart speaker in itself isn't going to be able to give you that kind of information. Plus, as I said before, with a smartphone, you're walking around with it all the time. If you want to use your smart speaker and you don't want it spying on you anymore, you just unplug it. It's not going to follow you around. It's going to stay right where it is planted, like a tree, wherever you have it. So that's why I put them much further down the list than, say, your Android or iPhone or your home theater system or your smart TV. Smart TV is tracking everything that you can think of and sending it back in mass, all kinds of information. And you can't get a TV, Michael. You could maybe 2-3 years ago, but you cannot get a smart TV without a microphone built into the remote. So it's listening. And the problem is when you look at a smartphone, they're not much different than I said, like a smart speaker. It's got the screen. So it's got everything like you would have with a smart screen that you buy from Amazon or Google. Mm-hmm. It's got a microphone built into it because it's a telephone, but they're always on. They're always listening. There's the famous case from about 15 years ago where the mafia guys were meeting and they thought they were real cute. They turned off all their phones. The FBI was still listening because the batteries were in them. And now you can't take the batteries out.
You just read my mind because that was what I was going to ask, because, you know, there's things that have almost entered like urban legends level and we're like, what do I believe? And I was wondering about, you know, okay, yeah, you're right. It's got a battery in it. So does that mean when I turn it off, it's really not off? And to that same point, if I turn my smart TV off, but it's still plugged into the wall, is it, he's nodding his head yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. This is radio, but the man is nodding his head yes.
Yeah, nodding my head yes, because you're on a roll. I'm not going to stop you. The lights are going on, and this is the world that we're put into, and you can't escape it. You used the word before, ubiquitous, and it's ubiquitous. Yep. So that's why smart speakers, I have a couple of them here in the house, don't bother me because everything else is listening to me. So I call it the redheaded stepchild. They direct all your attention to the smart speaker, but then you don't think about any of the other stuff that has the word smart in it. They're all listening. They're all doing the same thing because the other dirty little secret is they want the metadata. That's why they sell the computer printer to you dirt cheap, because they make all the money. They make all their money on buying having you buy the ink. This is the same thing. The speakers in themselves are not really that expensive. What they're making is the money off the metadata.
And, you know, I sometimes I think about this and I can see some people out there saying, Michael, okay, so what, man? Now they know what kind of cars I like, what music I like, what shoes I want to buy, where I go, this, that, and the other thing. So what? And okay, well, maybe for some people that's okay. But I would just imagine, I always say this is like, if you could, you would. And I apply that to major corporations and intelligence agencies especially. And what I imagine in my head is all of this information being assembled about each and every single one of us all day long, every day. And you're right. For most people, there may never be a use for that other than marketing, you know, sending them the right advertisements on their various platforms. But if you're somebody like Donald Trump, or even far less, but now you've got a little... You run afoul of the IRS, which is what we're going to talk about in the third hour, or something like that. Well, then now we go deep into the dark recesses of the gigantic banks of digital data that we have on every single human being everywhere, and we dig until we find something.
Well, I'll give people a challenge. Leave your cell phone out somewhere and talk to your wife. Like we were talking about her, she wanted to buy a new hair color, you know, woman thing, right? And so we're talking about that. And then what do you know? She gets ads on her iPhone about hair coloring. Well, wait a minute. Well, that's because she was discussing it. Or there was another time a couple of weeks ago, we were discussing dog food for our dog. And guess what? We started getting ads on our phones for dog food. And there's all kinds of, you know, Those things are innocuous. They're not really that harmful. And if that's where it ended, I'd say who cares, whatever. But, you know, it can get beyond that. And you can see reports where they're saying that Google and Amazon both are turning over stuff to the police if they request it. No Fifth Amendment. There's no due process. So, you know, and that's where you look into like the EULA, the end user license agreement, so that when, and I love this too, Michael, because like you just spent like $1,200 on a new computer and then you got to click off all these things in the EULA, you're going to give up all your rights. Well, what are you going to do? Use the thing as a boat anchor? You just spent $1,200.
Right.
So they kind of got you and they try to pivot and do an end around the Constitution. And we all, I'm guilty of it. I'm sure you are. And I'm sure the listeners, we've all done this. And this is how it works. So they want that metadata. It's very valuable to them. The speaker, that's not what we focus on. The speaker is just a tool. It's a piece of equipment. It's a piece of electronics. It's not good. It's not bad. And there's times when we're talking, we'll hear it pipe up. And then if we want privacy, we unplug everything. We throw the cell phones, we throw in the other room. Then my wife and I can go talk and not worry about whatever.
I went to a Bob Dylan concert a few weeks ago. And because my brain is like free forming all these various thoughts, and to get into the Dylan concert, we had to give them our phones, and they put them in these little bags, which I guess is like a little portable Faraday cage or whatever. But probably mostly because so that we couldn't bootleg the music and stuff or live stream it or what have you. Yeah. But I kind of wonder how well that was really working. I guess it's fine for that purpose, but really the phone is pretty much probably still completely functional in other ways. But I'm just thinking of all of these machines around us working in tandem. And if I understand you correctly, you're saying that when your wife was talking about the hair color or the dog food or whatever it was, the phone wasn't even in the immediate vicinity.
Oh, it was right in front of us in the room. Okay, I challenge anybody, Michael, to just, you can even, to prove it to yourself, talk about something you have absolutely no interest in around the phone and then watch what happens.
Yeah.
You'll see ads come up and you'll know, and that's the litmus test.
And the other thing,
you know, go ahead.
Well, one thing that's odd about like Siri, and I'm one of those weird guys, I actually never use Siri. I've been an Apple guy for a long, long time. I got turned on to Apple computers in the early 2000s. And I finally had a little bit of money and I bought one, and I just, the products worked well for me. But anyway, that's one thing I never use. I never use Siri, but I have an iPhone watch or an iWatch. I'm sorry. And this dang thing, it's like randomly, it will hear something that I said in conversation to someone else. And so even though it's smart, it's not as smart as you think it is, but still clearly it's listening to me, and it will just start and it's trying to answer something that is taken out of context that I'm having. It's just odd.
Yep.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. Because you're wearing a smart speaker on your wrist.
Yep.
That's what it is. And that's what people have to kind of equate it to, because one is equal to the other. But you see, you got major players in this industry right now. And the major players, of course, are Amazon. The other major player is Google. Now, they forecast that by 2025, Google is going to be selling more smart speakers than anybody else in the world. They got involved a little late in the game. I guess they kind of did one of these things, folded their arms, kind of watched Amazon to see where this would kind of head to. And then they came out with their own equipment. And they do just about everything the Amazon will. And they're about equal. And it's just a matter of, do you want things to work with this environment or that one? But what's important about Google is this, is that they're a major player in quantum technology. Quantum technology is mind-blowing. And I don't know if you got that clip, if we have time to play that Nick Begich clip. But this,
I didn't.
It's a short clip.
You know what? I'll send it to the producer during the break. I didn't send it to him, so.
Okay.
And I can't play it.
He's talking about quantum computing, and quantum computing is literally billions of times faster than your home PC. It's many times over faster than the fastest supercomputers. Once these go online permanently, there is no such thing, Michael, as encryption. Passwords, way bye-bye. This is why I'm saying we're being trained to live without any kind of privacy, because they're talking about brain chips now. We're talking about things that Christians talked about, the mark of the beast, and we get into that area. And whether you're a Christian or not, you got to look at the technology for what it is, where we're coming to a place where when they take that Google Assistant, that AI technology, and they place that inside of a quantum computer, here's what I see coming, is that your cell phone, whatever device you have at that time, is going to be like the dumb terminals of yesterday, where they have just enough computing power to connect. And when you get to now 6G, forget about 5G. You can buy 6G right now, the different routers for your home. And I'm sure they got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10G in the works, ready to go. And you're going to connect either in your brain with a chip or with a device. And you're not going to have to say, hey, Siri. You're not going to have to say, okay, Google. You're not going to have to say, Alexa. You're going to think it. And then the Uber car shows up. It may be driverless. It drives you to the market where you already thought about the fact that you want to buy these groceries. They all go and they load it into your trunk, and then you take the Uber car back to your house and you're done. You've not walked into the store. You've not taken out a debit card or a credit card. You've not used cash. All you did was think about it. And that's where we're headed, because the quantum computer is so fast that it can handle trillions upon trillions of requests and not break a sweat. And when people get disconnected, you think people are bad with these things, with a cell phone where they're magooing, walking down the street in traffic, looking at their phone. Wait till they have access to a quantum computer chip in their brain. And they turn that off and they lose their minds, literally, because that's where we're headed.
I speak with Kevin Gallagher. He's the founder and CEO of Truth Be Told Network, TBTRN. He's a researcher. He's an advocate of limitations on smart technology. We're enjoying this conversation. We got to take our final break of this hour. This is TNT Radio.
You were warned. Climate lockdowns looming. Biden set to issue climate emergency in the United States.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden is now seriously considering the declaration of a climate emergency in order to follow the COVID emergency. And by the way, the U.S. is still under their COVID health emergency. How long will a climate emergency last? What powers will it give Joe Biden? For those of you pining away for the COVID lockdowns, President Biden will have the ability to deploy 130 different presidential powers that require no consent of Congress. Yes, it has come to that. A permanent emergency where democracy is permanently suspended. There's only one way to fight back: the great resist. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
The Great Reinfection.
With thanks to the COVID vaccine?
COVID vaccines are not safe and don't work. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, folks. Well, I am speaking with Kevin Gallagher, CEO of Truth Be Told Radio Network. I was trying to drag this clip off of my email into Skype for my producer.
The one from the head of Google.
Pardon?
You have the one from the head of Google. That's, I think, a shorter clip, and that's a mind blower.
Yeah, I was trying to drag them off here. But while I do that, let me ask you this. Let's do a little high-octane speculation. You've done the research, and you kind of laid out briefly what you foresee for the future. Is there anything on the immediate horizon that has piqued your interest that you think is close to coming to market that kind of fits some of the descriptions you just laid out?
I've seen where they've been actually discussing brain chip technology.
It's funny that you say that.
It's actually being discussed. Yeah. And I'll tell you this. What's interesting is I have a friend who, like 25 or so years ago, he lost his eyesight in a really bad motorcycle accident. And he can't see at all. And so he has two of these Alexa speakers. And I would tease him and be like, Alan, you know, he'd say he'd leave the lights on. His mother would come over and say, Alan, you have all the lights on in the house. And I'm like, Alan, you're blind. How do you know if the lights are on? Why do you need them on? He goes, well, I have friends that see, they forget to turn off the lights. And so then now all I have to do is say, Alexa, turn off all the lights, and all the lights go off. So, and he can get his news reports, he can get everything he needs through these things. So, like I say, not everything is bad for handicapped people, older people. They're fantastic because they don't have to learn any programming. If you can talk, you can run them. You can run the device. My mom has one. She absolutely has fallen in love with it because she can listen to all her radio stations. She can listen to her son on the radio. She can do all these things. She can get the weather, and she doesn't have to know how to run a computer. And she's like 79 years old, and it works for her. So, I mean, this is what we're looking at. There's an upside and a downside, because you got to ask yourself, what's the cost? And you can determine what kind of cost is worth whatever the convenience is, because the convenience comes at a cost. And only you can answer that question.
You know, you were talking about metadata a minute ago, and I remember it because I've worked a lot in e-commerce. I've worked with a lot of kind of internet radio stations and just products being sold on the internet. Yeah. And social media, one of the things that we first learned is, like, if it's free, it's because you're the product.
Exactly.
And so in a way, that's one of the things that I struggle with. It's like, what do they not know about me? I mean, I you know, what do they not know about me? Because I've pretty late, most of us, our whole life is somewhere in our computers, in our smartphones, in our smart speakers. It's all there. If somebody wanted to collate that and create a version of whatever I am.
Yeah. And we're dealing
a model.
With the fact that, yeah, you're dealing with the fact that it's all around you. You have the technology in the cell phones, the technology in the speaker, the technology in anything that says smart, it's on, it's monitoring. And then you have to ask yourself, do I want to, you're also losing a little bit of control for what, that's why I am very wary of smart locks. I'm very wary of anything along the lines of, you know, anything like that, surveillance stuff, because then they can see, and they've already come out with a statement this week I saw where they can grab your surveillance data and just hand it over to the police. They can just hand it over. The police say, we want Kevin Gallagher's surveillance data from his house. They can grab that, and Google or whoever will send it right over. So, you know, it's not a question of if you have anything to hide. It's like, how much do you want them to know? And since it's so ubiquitous, you cannot get away from it. If you have a smartphone, they're already listening to you 24/7. People I know carry them around, put them under their pillow, sleep with them, walk down the street in traffic staring at them. Yes. And they're listening and seeing everything. This phone has a very good camera built into it. So I don't know if they're watching it. A lot of people will put tape over the webcam on their computers, but yet they don't do the same thing to their cell phone, which has the AI technology in it. It's called a smartphone for a reason.
Yeah. And to your point about big tech, this fact that they would just turn things over to government, it's interesting because I've made the argument here on the show before that a couple of times, especially during COVID, when the government didn't want to overreach or appear to be overreaching, they just kind of outsourced these things to their brothers and sisters in the private sector, who would then do for them what they really wanted to do, but they didn't want to say, we didn't do that. We didn't tell you couldn't work. We didn't tell you could do this. But yeah. The other side of that is it's interesting how they play. And I don't remember what the crime was, but when I was doing a show called Antidote years ago, I had John McAfee on. And one of the things that he and I were talking about at the time was there was a particular case. And I don't remember if these were terrorists or maybe it was the San Bernardino shooting. And there were some iPhones involved, and the FBI asked Apple to crack or you know, open these suspects' iPhones so that they could look at the data, and Apple wouldn't do it. So what I'm saying is, like, in some cases, it depends on, we've got that info. We can give it to them or we can not give it to them. And but the fact is they have it.
Yes. And Michael, from what I've seen, Apple does seem to have better security than the other companies, but you know, I leave that to whatever people want to do. I mean, I don't advocate one position or the other. I'm purely about giving people the information so that you have the information so that you can come to a decision that you're comfortable with. It's a very important technology because of where things are headed, because we're reaching a singularity, is what I like to call it, where you're looking at quantum computing, you're looking at cellular technology, you're looking at smart technology combining into this one glob, this one conglomerate, and all of it working together. Your smart TV, your computer, it's going to be something that you really can't tell the difference. All these things are just getting completely interwoven, and this is where it's heading to. And so these are things that we really have to watch, because once the quantum computing goes, I mean, let me give you an idea. All right, let me give you an idea about quantum computing. This will blow your mind and the listeners. You take 100 people, theoretically, you lock them in a room with a calculator, and you let them calculate for 1,000,000 years. Now, in 2006, the fastest, we're talking 16 years ago, the fastest supercomputers. Okay, if you took three, you took one of those and let it compute for an hour, that's what it would do in 1 hour, is what 100 people could do on a computer for 1 million years. Now, you take three of those supercomputers, you let them compute for 1 million years. One quantum computer can do that in an hour. So all encryption, like I said before, is out the window. Way bye-bye to privacy, because it's not possible. Sheer brute force, in a matter of seconds, they can break any encryption, no matter how detailed it is, because it can do billions of years of processing within seconds.
Kevin, let me pose this question to you, because I this is something that I've struggled with, and as a science fiction fan and just a person interested by spirituality, you know, we hear a great deal about the rise of AI to almost, you know, human or even beyond that godlike status. Meanwhile, on Monday, I had a man on, and he is a distinguished professor of computer programming and electronics engineering at Baylor. His thing was, yeah, I mean, the computers will get complex and the technology will be very amazing, but it will never equal the human capacity to create new things. So yes, it will algorithmically be able to create things that it has background on, but it doesn't have that spark of ingenuity. And the only reason I say that is because as the super quantum computers become genius level, ultra, triple, mega genius, there's still something special about human beings.
Yes, there is. But I will tell you this, I can't divulge the source, but I was told this in the last 2 weeks. They have been using quantum computers. They take all the known available data and they make a giant database of human history. They put in this huge database and then they have it project out and try to predict events. And the predictability that these quantum computers can do based on all the past data, all the metadata, everything, people's movements, everything, is so chillingly accurate that they can predict to the minute when things happen. And when you're dealing with the New World Order, you're dealing with the control freaks in that realm, this is their wet dream. So we have it, they have it now, they're using it. And so, you know, this is what they're doing. And I mean, it's just mind-blowing stuff to me because of the way the technology works. I mean, I just didn't know that the film Terminator was a documentary, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is something that we grapple with. And yet, on the other hand, the good side of it is that's how you and I, you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, my producer's in Australia, and we're all doing this live to people. So, yeah, we're not saying that everything's bad or everything's good. It's simply, it's a tool, and we have to decide at what level we're comfortable with this and how much of our personal information we want to give away. My gut tells me I've already given everything away.
You probably have without even realizing it. And like I said, the game changer for me is when I discovered the dirty secret about my smartphone and that it's no different than a smart speaker. It's basically a smart display that makes phone calls. And as a matter of fact, your Google smart display, your Google smart speaker, your Amazon smart display, your Siri speaker, your Amazon smart speaker, they can all, and I repeat, all of them can make phone calls. And they make actually really good speaker phones. And I've called people to test, and they don't even know I'm calling them from a smart speaker. It sounds like I'm on the telephone with them. So they're that good at the technology because it's a shared technology. Smart is this, smart is that. It's smart, smart, smart. It's a shared technology across the board.
You made an interesting point earlier about smart TVs. We got like 1 minute left, but you made an interesting point about the TVs is that like at a certain point, like that's the only one you can get. So like right now I have a little JVC speaker that's wireless. All it can do, I think, could be wrong, is pick up the signal from what I'm beaming to it to play. But in the future, I won't probably be able to buy that. It will have to be a smart speaker.
Well, that actually might be a smart speaker in itself if it's connected to smart technology.
You're right.
So that's the caveat. Right.
You're right. I guess maybe I have one. And it's a cheapie that I got given for my birthday. I use it all the time, but I just use it to play music on while I cook and everything. Yeah. But maybe it's a smart speaker and I didn't even realize it. It must be.
It may be a dumb speaker, but once the Bluetooth has connected maybe to smart technology, now the smart technology can access that speaker, because it's what makes smart technology smart. And I'll read the definition back: is the ability to communicate and work with other network technologies. Bluetooth would be a network technology, and gotcha. Through the ability to allow automated adaptive functionality as well as remote accessibility or operation from anywhere, that fits the definition of smart tech.
You're right. Ladies and gentlemen, I just learned something. I got a smart speaker in the kitchen right by the stove. All right. Holy cow. Kevin, thank you so much. Kevin Gallagher has been our guest. Please go check it out. Truth Be Told Network. And that is TBTRN. Kevin, thank you so much, brother.
You're welcome.
We'll have you back. Cheers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take that break. Come back for the third hour. Derek Kinney will be the guest. We'll talk about the IRS and the economy. All right.